This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, last week, the U.S. announced that officials will screen immigrants' social media accounts for anti-Semitic content as, quote, grounds for denying immigration benefits request. This announcement coming from the Trump administration in a policy that went into effect on Wednesday. And we've got some questions here about what kind of benefits could be denied or granted, what counts as anti-Semitic content, and whether or not there is legal grounds for this. So we bring in our KMOX legal analyst, Brad Young, partner at Haristal, Fisher & Young. Brad, thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Amy.
So I guess, could you kind of set the table here with the U.S. scouring social media accounts of people requesting immigration benefits? Because I could see how maybe if you have terrorist activity, that might be an issue. You know, where do you draw the line between foul comments and comments that could be a national security threat?
Boy, that's a huge question. But let's lay the groundwork before we do a deep dive into this. I mean, anyone who's ever watched like your Sounder, Law and Order, you know, knows basic concepts like search and seizure, like can you be searched without a warrant? Those types of general issues. And but here's what's interesting, and this is what a lot of folks don't know, Amy, and that is there's something called the border search exception. That means that within 100 miles of the border, Canadian border, Mexican border, doesn't matter, but within about 100 miles, then there is deference to the government to search without a warrant, without probable cause even, because the idea is that if someone wants to come into this country, then their expectations of privacy are reduced because a government or a country is allowed to enforce its border. So that applies even if you're a citizen. I mean, if you're coming home from a long weekend in the Bahamas, well, maybe not the Bahamas, but in another country, say Kirks and Caicos, and you're coming back into this country, you can be searched even though you're a U.S. citizen. Now, they can't stop you from coming in, but you can be searched without a warrant, and it doesn't require any probable cause.
What would be the purpose of a search in a case like that? I mean, what would you be expecting to find?
Well, like, for example, if you've ever been on a plane coming back, you're always told you can't bring in fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. You can't bring in plants. You can't bring in animals. One time when I was on a mission trip as a kid to Mexico, I caught a tarantula in the desert. Okay. And I hid it in my suitcase. I know I'm confessing to a crime, but the statute of limitations has expired. But and I brought it into this country and I kept the I kept the tarantula for about a year and until it died. But here's my point. That was a violation of law. They could have at the border. They could have searched my suitcase to say, you know, this Brad Young guy, he looks like somebody that'd be carrying a tarantula. All right. It doesn't require any probable cause. It doesn't require a warrant. But that's the concept. Now, when you take it to the next level, Amy and Chris, as you just referenced in setting up the segment, and that is, where does it go in terms of searching social media posts? And that is a question I haven't found an answer to. But here's what I think would happen, because the main elements of the Fourth Amendment have been reduced or relaxed when someone is coming into this in this country. I think the same would be true when it applies to social media posts regarding whether they might be a terrorist threat. Now, here's where the real issue comes. And let's make up a hypothetical. Let's say that someone is at the border, they're asking for immigration status, and they have social media that supports Hamas, but yet doesn't make any actual specific threats of terrorism. Just, I think I support the Palestinians. I support their right to their own state, and I support them in their struggle against Israel. Let's just assume hypothetically that is the postings on social media. The question of what can be done with that is a great question, because that doesn't rise to the level under Brandenburg versus Ohio, where the Supreme Court said you have to have specific threats of violence against a specific individual or group, specific threats of violence, not just generalized hate speech. That hypothetical that I set up wouldn't seem to meet that criteria, but because it's at the border, does it have to meet that criteria? Because there is relaxed standards at the border in favor of government action. So that would be a fantastic law school exam question. So one could analyze both sides of that issue.
Brad, does it matter what side of the border you're on? Meaning, let's say there are two people, Bob and Joe. Bob has a green card, and he posts on social media, pro Hamas, October 7th, gross stuff, right? Just he's pro. Joe doesn't have a green card yet, doesn't have a student visa, but he wants one, and he's posted the same exact pro Hamas. Does Bob have more rights than Joe because Bob is already here with a green card?
Yes. And that is a very clear answer to that, because green card status, when you're a permanent resident, you're one step away from being a U.S. citizen. And so at that point, the requirements to deport someone who has a green card are very, very high and very stringent, because you are like, my wife used to say when we were driving home from vacation, I would drive 2,000 miles home from vacation. And when we were about six blocks from home, she would say, honey, do you want me to drive the rest of the way home? Okay. You're like that situation with a green card. Mm-hmm. You've driven that 2,000 miles and you're like six blocks from home. So you do have a heightened degree of rights and benefits under this country when you're a green card status. But if someone is simply applying for green card status, there are almost no requirements in terms of if the government wants to deny you citizenship or even green card status because of posts that may be hate speech or deemed to be anti-Semitic or anything, anti-black, anti-white, anti-anything, that status is lower. And so the protection afforded that status is equally lower.
I'm interested in the case of the guy from Maryland who was deported to El Salvador, is in the prison. The Supreme Court ruled that they have to facilitate, or the government has to facilitate, getting him back. The administration is saying they don't have to do that. What will end up being the result of all of that?
Well, Chris, I actually read the decision that the Supreme Court issued, and this and the court went to great lengths to say, and there's a good reason for this, that the court cannot dictate the foreign policy of the executive branch of government. That gets into the whole classic issue of separation of powers, right? So the judicial branch is not in charge of foreign policy and cannot order foreign policy elements to the executive branch. That's why the word facilitate was used. I promise you that clerks spent hours coming up with the right word to use because they couldn't order the Trump administration to do it because that would be dictating foreign policy. So they said they have to facilitate it. But let's go back to the root issue here. The root issue is that everyone, whether you are here legally or illegally, whether you're a drug smuggler or whether you, you know, your grandma just immigrated here from Central Asia, it doesn't matter. Everyone is entitled under our Constitution to due process. And what due process means, it's a fancy word or fancy two words that essentially means the government has to have a court hearing before it deprives you of life, liberty, or property. And so this demonstrates the flaw in that Enemy and Aliens Act of 1798 that does not require due process. That's why when the court, when the Supreme Court denied the temporary or removed the temporary restraining order against the Trump administration, the court also said, you cannot deport anyone without due process, and they have to follow up in their state where they're being held, which in this instance was Texas. So I know there's a lot of details here. It's complex. But the bottom line, when you put all this in a blender, the bottom line is twofold. Number one, you have to have due process before you kick somebody out of the country. And number two, if you kick somebody out wrongly, like is apparently it was done by the Trump administration, then although the court can't force you to bring them home, the court can say you have to take a lot of steps and efforts to try to get that person home, but they're dancing up to the edge of violating that separation of powers issue.
In a separate case, there was the Tufts University student that was detained, and people have probably seen the video of agents who were not in, you know, they were in street clothes coming up to her on the street and arresting her. And she had written an op-ed in a school paper, I think it was last year probably, that she had done that. But the State Department said they didn't have any real evidence that she was linked to terrorism or anti-Semitism, but they're trying to deport her. So what happens in a case like that?
Well, the key phrase that you mentioned, Chris, is trying to deport her. And so what that means is there has to be a hearing before she can be deported. Unlike the Aliens and Enemies Act of 1798, technically doesn't require a hearing. That's why it was used. It's really only being used previously during wartime because you don't have time to decide whether someone is an enemy combatant or not. You just have to act because you're in a time of war. So that's why I've said consistently that if this goes to the Supreme Court, the issue is going to be what does an invasion, what does that word mean and what status or what facts have to be there to support the idea of an invasion. But let's get to your question. The question is, what has to happen? Now, if this Tufts University student does have a green card, then effectively it's going to have the same effect as if she were a U.S. citizen. So there the same laws are going to apply in terms of did she commit a crime, yes or no. If you just post something that's pro-Hamas hate speech, which we can all agree is hate speech, it's reprehensible, it's awful, but yet it's not illegal, then if she has green card status, it's going to be very, very difficult to deport her. If she doesn't have green card status, then there is more flexibility by the U.S. government to say, we allowed you into this country voluntarily, and now we're revoking that privilege for you to be here because of your actions and because of your social media postings.
Hey, Brad, I'm confused, to be honest. Like when I hear of all of these different cases, is it fair to say that most people involved in all of these separate individual cases are also confused and you can't predict what's going to happen from one case to the next? Because I feel like, well, is it this act? Is it that act? Is it this rule? Does this count as a bad post? I feel like uncertainty is the name of the game here.
Well, there is some uncertainty, but I think where there is certainty, and you're going to see this, it takes a lot of court cases to develop a sense of continuity. Different districts, one district might rule one way, another district might rule another way. But I think when you get enough of these court cases, Amy, you're going to see it congeal around this idea. Number one, is it at the border or is it not at the border? Because if it's at the border, all your Fourth Amendment rights are somewhat relaxed. And secondly, what is the person, the focus, the person of interest here, what's their status here in this country? If it's green status or if they are a U.S. citizen, ability to deport them is going to be slim to none. And then if they're on a lower status than a green card, then the ability for the government goes up to deport these individuals because they have less protections under the First Amendment.
Brad Young, legal analyst for KMOX, partner at Harris Dowell Fisher & Young. As always, we appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Brad Young joins the show. Hey, when we come back, something very important because Amy and I, and really Matt Pajeski too, has been a part of this.
Mush Pajeski?
Yeah, because we sort of screwed up with our Mott's Madness tournament.
Well.
Sort of. And because we did, we have to make it right. We'll do that when we come back on KMOX.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, the NCAA tournament ended, and there is a champion. Who won? Duke? Is that who it was? Florida? Can't remember.
No, Florida.
Oh, that's right, Florida.
Duke was not in the finals at all?
Yeah, come on, man. It was Florida versus Houston.
Yeah, Duke got screwed. That's what it was.
Oh, get serious.
I decided after they lost that I would stick up for them because nobody ever does.
They don't. A lot of people really hate on Duke.
Poor Duke.
I don't think anyone, I don't think you need to say poor Duke. I think they're doing okay.
Also, poor us, because we are just,
a hot mess.
Would you say we are?
We are, I think it is what I said about you. You have the face of a man who looks like he's doing his best and it's not going well. Mm-hmm. It's not going great.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we are. I feel like we're trying.
Yeah, we're.
It's not going great.
We're doing
okay. It could be worse.
It could be worse.
So much worse.
We held, in honor of the NCAA tournament, we held the Mott's Madness Pizza Tournament. And in the pizza tournament, there were two, it was submitted as one team, and it was Alfonso's. You know, Alfonso's, the pizza place?
No!
Yeah.
The one in Carrollton?
Well, no, it turns out it was the one in Troy, Illinois, okay. But we didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we went an entire tournament, and it occurred to us maybe two rounds in that we don't know if it is Alfonso's Carrollton or Alfonso's Troy.
And then a few more days passed, and we realized they were spelled differently. We didn't even notice that.
That's right.
We had such a lack of attention to detail. It's really astonishing.
So here's what we have done to celebrate our negligence. We bring to you the Tournament of Negligence. Yeah, we know the tournament is over, but not this one. This is because we don't know. We neglected.
It's not a redo.
Yeah.
It's just, listen, we overlooked a few things.
We overlooked
a lot. We forgot. We overlooked.
Yeah. We overlooked Felix's.
We were careless.
We didn't overlook Felix's.
They were
on the list. Somebody snubbed them from the tournament altogether.
It was an old mush over there, wasn't it?
It was mush.
I asked you to proofread. Nobody proofread.
Just unbelievable.
It was too much to proofread.
Yeah, there's like 64 teams, man.
There were 64 teams. How am I supposed to proofread all of
that? Can't go through 64 words. It's too many.
That could take a minute.
More than that.
It could take more than a minute.
It could take 64 seconds. All right. So we are bringing to you the Tournament of Negligence, and you can participate in this. So we have put together some items of negligent behavior. And some of you submitted some of your ideas to us, and many of them are included in this tournament.
Wait a minute. Can I just ask something?
Sure.
Did we neglect to make regions here?
Yeah, there are no regions. This is a small tournament.
Okay.
It's
a regional tournament.
We have a total of 32 teams.
Yeah. So it's a regional tournament.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have separate regions.
So there are two number one seeds. One of them is, and I think this might be... You know what? I'm not going to tell you what I think
will happen. No, you shouldn't tell us.
I'm not going to color this. But the number one seed is forgetting your child is in the car. And it will take on number 16 seed overcooking food in the oven.
It's a tough one.
I don't think it's that difficult.
I think it's difficult.
You think so?
I mean, it depends on how hungry you are. And the other number one seed, failing to do your taxes. I like how we didn't call it tax evasion. We just called it failing. I didn't evade. I just didn't do it.
Well, no, because evasion
is intentional.
That's intentional.
Right. This is negligence.
This is complete negligence. Like,
oh,
damn, I forgot.
Number one, failing to do your taxes over a 16 seed, leaving a candle lit, which I think should have been ranked way higher.
Because
burn your house down.
You could burn your house down. You could certainly do damage to your coffee table. A number two seed in this tournament is leaving the stove on.
Oh, I hate that.
Which is taking on the 15 seed, keeping Christmas lights up all year.
How is that not a number two seed? Keeping your Christmas lights up all year?
Well, because nobody gets hurt by that.
Hooge. It's hooge.
Number two, running out of toilet paper, happened to me last week, over number 15, not brushing your teeth. I like the hygiene matchup.
Oh, hygiene matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Running out of toilet paper is a number two seed.
Here's a number three seed. And by the way, this has happened to me when I was in college and I had roommates. And when I first got out of college, having your power shut off.
Oh, no.
The 3 seed against the 14 seed not getting your oil changed.
And the car starts to smoke.
Yeah, that's super negligent.
Number 3, not wearing a seatbelt. That's idiocy, too.
Yeah, it's...
That's idiocy. It's more crazy than negligence. Number 14, not rewinding your VHS tape before returning. Because, see, we made this tournament in 1994.
We sure did. When you were still supposed... There might be some people going, what? Rewind what? A VHS? What's a VHS?
What is rewind?
A 4 seed, not having car insurance, takes on the 13 seed, dropping your phone in the toilet.
To be honest, I'd rather be a little negligent in car insurance before I dropped my phone in the toilet.
Oh, my God. Dropping your phone in the toilet or having a crazy ex-girlfriend throw it in the toilet on purpose is the worst.
That's pretty bad.
You never want that.
This is a very interesting matchup. Not flushing the toilet after you know what.
Oh.
That's a number 4 seed. Takes on the number 13 seed. Very specific. Forgetting about Smoot Hawley as president.
Oh.
Don't you hate it when you're president of the United States and you forget about Smoot Hawley?
Oh, that's not good.
Anyone?
The 5 seed, not changing the smoke detector battery versus leaving your fly unzipped as the 12 seed. Which, remember the time?
He taught a college class.
I did.
With his barn door open.
Yep. The whole hour. And I didn't discover it until I got downstairs for office hours that my fly was wide open.
Number 5 seed, running out of gas, is taking on number 12 seed, dropping your child into the gorilla pit, a.k.a. Harambe.
I love that submission from a listener who just wrote in Harambe. And I said... I'm guessing that means dropping your kid into the enclosure at the zoo. And he said, that's exactly what I meant.
He actually said, he texted later, said, sorry, at work. Yes, that's what I meant.
6 seed, losing your keys, takes on the 11 seed, taking nursing classes while circuit attorney.
Oh, that's a bad one. I hate when that happens. That's the worst time to take nursing
It happens
classes.
To all of us.
Number 6 seed, sleeping through your alarm. Against number 11 seed, leaving the snow unplowed as mayor.
Oh, that's not good either.
Don't you forget when you're mayor and you forget to plow the streets?
Yes.
That's so bad.
The 7 seed, forgetting an anniversary versus the 10 seed, forgetting birth control.
I know which one I would rather have.
I know, me too.
You can always remember an anniversary later.
I'll never remember your anniversary if I can make sure I remember the other one every time.
Number 7, forgetting a birthday, goes up against number 10, merging without using your blinker.
And an 8 seed, letting your license expire, versus the 9 seed, not returning a shopping cart.
Hate that. That's selfish. Number 8, not renewing your license plates against number 9. Oh, forgetting trash pickup. You forgot to bring the trash out. Now you got a whole week. You got to wait a whole week.
That's awful.
Ugh.
So that is our Tournament of Negligence, and you can participate in it on our Twitter account. Follow us at Chris Amy KMOX, and you can vote, and we will get to a champion. We promise we won't let this one go on for months and months. And hopefully we've gotten this one right.
Probably not.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Big sports weekend just happened in St. Louis, and Matt Pauly, the host of Sports Open Line in the Redbird Rush Hour and Cardinals Pre and Post, is with us next.
The pitch on the way. Leahy gets a ground ball to Contreras right next to the bag. He steps on first. That's a Redbird winner. Light it up, downtown St. Louis. Set off the fireworks as the Cardinals have taken 2 out of 3 from the Phillies.
Yo, Paulie! Paulie's
a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Cardinals won 2 of 3 from the Phillies for the first time in 8 years. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time since they were able to do that, and they did it. So now they will continue their homestand. They've got the Houston Astros tonight. So, baseball, baby. And one of our guys is going to go to it and potentially cause them to lose.
Matt, we've got an issue.
Yeah, Matt Pauly is joining us on the show. Matt is the host of Sports Open Line, the Redbird Rush Hour, which is on at 5 o'clock, and Cardinals pre- and post-game. Matt, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm very curious what this issue is.
Yeah, Pajeski's going to go to the game tonight. He went to Battle Hawks and City yesterday.
And?
They both lost.
They both lost. Yeah.
So he's going to go to the Cardinals game tonight.
And the Blues game on Tuesday night.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I
can't
know.
Mess around with that one.
I know, like, Matt. That's what I said.
Yeah. They need that win. I mean, Calgary is kind of messing around here. No, that's not allowed.
I know. And Pajeski here is like, wouldn't that be funny if every team loses? And like, Matt, the Blues, it could come down to the final game of the season for these guys. And you're making a joke? You want a bit? Mm. You're doing this as a bit?
I love bits. Bits are funny.
This isn't funny.
This isn't funny.
No, no.
I'm going. You can't stop me.
I want to talk about baseball here, but let's just briefly get that part out of the way that the Blues here have.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, we talk about this early last week. They are in the playoffs. That's happening. Come on. It's not even close, right? And, things have changed a little bit.
Yeah. You always, this happens in sports when you go on these long winning streaks, you lose for that first time and the air comes out of it and it takes a little while for you to lock back in. And I was a little bit worried about that happening with the Blues. I didn't think it was going to happen. I'm not trying to go back in history and tell you that I said this was going to happen. All I did was kind of present it as a possibility that indeed that does tend to happen in sports. And man, that point that they didn't get against Edmonton is just staring them right in the face right now, where they gave up the late goal, and Edmonton won that game. Because now, if Calgary keeps winning, they could be in a little bit of trouble if they don't take care of business against Utah on Tuesday.
I know. I'm a little surprised, Matt. You know they have to come back down to earth. Sure, nobody's going to keep on winning indefinitely. But I felt like it would be more of the you lose a game, you win a couple, you lose a game. I didn't see the Blues giving up points, such critical points. It feels a little frivolous right now, especially with the Calgary Flames. They defeated the San Jose Sharks 5-2 yesterday, and now it's a race. Now you don't know.
You don't. I mean, you just got to take care of business against Utah. At least you've got that going for you. So, but they got a point against Seattle. That point is an important point. I'm not trying to. You wish you wouldn't have lost that game in a shootout. But this is the time where every single point. That's why I brought up the point against Edmonton, because every single point matters right now.
Blues are up 2 points on Calgary. They have one game left to go here. Calgary has 2 games left to go. So that is the precarious situation they are in. They will play tomorrow. And we hope they get it done. So let's talk baseball now, because the Cardinals, after having a rough series against the Angels and Boston and Pittsburgh, you've got this series against a very good Phillies team, and they take 2 of 3, Matt.
Yeah, a legit World Series contender in Philadelphia, and they looked good. They pitched. The pitching was great. 2 shutout wins against Philadelphia. That's a tough lineup to do that against. And I know they didn't win the Saturday game, but man, that was a step forward for Miles Michaelis. That was good to see him. He got squeezed a little bit on a couple runs scoring that helped lead to a couple runs scoring first. Now, to be fair, he also gave up a lot of hard contact in that first inning as well. So there's a call that's not made, but there's also him getting hit hard. But then after that, he locked in and he only gives up one more run over his next 4 innings of work. So that's an important step forward for Michaelis. You feel more comfortable with what he's going to do over taking his next start. But the 2-0 win on Friday, the 7-0 win yesterday, the pitching that they got from the respective starters in that game yesterday, just seeing what Liberatore was able to do, giving 6 scoreless. The Friday night game where Andre Pallante looked really good through 7. I mean, that's a positive development all the way around. I think, one of the things that kind of struck me about this season so far for the Cardinals is there's a personality to every single series. Like the Minnesota series is like, okay, maybe this team's going to be kind of good. The Angels series, you sort of lament the missed opportunities. Boston's like, oh my goodness, that wasn't good. Pittsburgh, kind of the same thing, but then you come back with Philadelphia. So now the job is to follow that up with another good series against Houston. Make this a good homestand. Go take 2 out of 3 from Houston and win 4 out of 6 on this homestand. Get back to 500 or above. So, one series doesn't make a season, doesn't make a week, doesn't make a month, but it was good for them to win that series against Philadelphia.
And you mentioned Liberatore, who pitched yesterday in that 7-0 shutout. And in his 3 starts, I mean, the results have been you know, for the most part, you put them all together and they've been pretty good. And since they gave him, I would say, the longer leash, they just said, hey, just pitch. Don't worry about it. You know, you're not going to be sent down or moved back to the bullpen anytime soon. I think he's, you know, this is good progress for him.
Really good progress. And sometimes you got to look past the numbers a little bit too, because with him, he's had essentially one bad inning in his first two starts that really ended up biting him. And you know, he did not have that inning yesterday, so that's another step forward, which is really good to see. But you know, that was his third start. If you would have gotten rid of his one bad inning in each of his first two starts, he would have given up, I think, two runs through his first two starts. So he's been pretty good. He's been pitching deep into games. He's gone at least six every single one of his games this year. You know, I got a little bit of grief from some of our listeners on his second game, because I made the argument that I thought he had pitched well. And in that game, he gave up five runs and six and a third innings. And a lot of people said, what do you mean he pitched well? He gave up five runs. Well, he gave up three runs in one inning. He gave up one run other than that, and he gave up an inherited run that scored after he ended up leaving the game. So if you show me a day where a guy has one bad inning with a crooked number and the rest of the day is pretty good, I think for the most part you've done your job and you've kept the team in the game. So I really like what we've seen so far from Liberatore.
Matt, we were talking earlier in the show about Wilson Contreras and his comments about Cardinals fans and saying, hey, we play for you, we need you in the stadium, and wanted to get your thoughts on that, because as Ranj pointed out, pretty unusual to have a Cardinals player ask where the fans are or have to beseech the fans to show up.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I understand why fans have not showed up. Like, I understand the frustration with this team not being a playoff team in a couple years, and the sense that the team could have done more and they've kind of let things go. Like, I understand that. I'm not trying to be dismissive of fans whatsoever. At the same time, it feels like there's just like this ball of momentum that's rolling down a hill with some things that are just not totally true that are create, like, when I see people say the DeWitts should sell the team, that the DeWitts are some of the worst owners in sports, I want to shake these people and like open up their eyes to what else is going on in the world of sports. Are the DeWitts perfect owners? No, I'm not saying that, because the DeWitts spent more money than they've spent. Yeah, like every owner in sports can probably spend more money than what they're spending. But you look at the history of what this team has accomplished under the DeWitts ownership, it's been really, really good, and it compares very favorably. Almost every team in sports goes through these cyclical moments where you kind of take a downturn. And a large percentage of Cardinal fans have kind of hijacked this sort of natural down period that's happening with this team and has turned it into fire the DeWitts, fire Mo, fire anybody you can fire and make this thing different. Or people are trying to say the team's going to move to Nashville, that they're trying to lose on purpose so they can lose to Nashville, move to Nashville. I hear this all the time. And it's just these crazy things that are not true. And I think it's partially led to this overwhelming feeling that is of just kind of discontent that's resulting in not as many people going to games. And again, fans have rights to not go to games, and fans have the right to show that they're unhappy with the organization and all those things. I'm not trying to say they don't, but some of the things that I see, I just think are completely wrong and false. And I don't know if Wilson Contreras was right saying what he was saying. Look, at the end of the day, if this team starts winning more games and if they're competitive, they're fun, it's just going to naturally result in more people showing up to the ballpark, and then we're not having these conversations, which honestly, I don't really enjoy these conversations. Like, I just want to talk about baseball. I don't want to talk about this stuff, but unfortunately, it's in front of us right now. So fans have the right to not show up. Fans have the right to be unhappy with the organization. Fans have the right to recognize the fact, and I'm not trying to run away from the fact that the Cardinals let this thing go, and they got passed up by other organizations. They made some bad choices. Like, all those things are true, and that's helped to result in where the team is at right now. But who would you rather be? Would you rather be the St. Louis Cardinals or the Pittsburgh Pirates? Would you rather be the St. Louis Cardinals or Cincinnati Reds? Like, there's a lot of really bad owners in baseball, and the DeWitts are not that.
Yeah, I totally understand fans not wanting to buy tickets if they don't feel like it. It's a commitment, and for some people it is a huge financial commitment to, mm-hmm. you know, to go to the ballpark. And if you don't feel like the ownership is putting everything they can into it, and there's a difference between doing like what the Pirates and the Reds do, is it's almost like they say to the fan bases, just be happy with anything you get, because we're not going to spend any money at all. We're not going to do it. I mean, we might draft okay. We're not going to spend any money whatsoever. And being a team that does spend money, but you sort of wish as a fan they would invest just a little bit more, then maybe sometimes that little bit more could be the difference for them. So
yeah, that's true. That's not anti what I just said. I think what you just said, Ron, is correct. And I'm very hopeful that with the changes that are being made, again spearheaded by the DeWitts, with the recommitment to player development and the thing that I think people don't realize sometimes is if this team starts developing players again that can impact the team at a pretty high level, then if most of your roster is constructed by those types of players, then the money that they spend can get something more. You know, take last offseason. They're stuck in this position where they were desperate for starting pitching, so they go get Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson. I'm not trying to, like, dismiss those guys, but those are not, like, superstar, top-of-the-rotation type of starters, and you paid, what, $22 million or so for those two guys. Well, if you are developing the guys who are going to be your 3, 4, and 5 starters, and then all of a sudden you got $22 million in your back pocket that you can spend on one player instead of two players, well, at that point, you're going to go get a big-time impact player. And that's what the team is trying to get back to, because they have been patching holes and putting Band-Aids on the Major League roster for way too long.
Matt Pauly will have the Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock. Then it is the pregame show at 5:50. The ball game is 6:45, Cardinals and Astros. Matthew, we appreciate it as always.
Christopher, thank you so much. Amy, thank you as well.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
That's right. Baseball tonight. We're having it right here on KMOX. First of a 4-game series, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the sports isn't done for the afternoon, because at 12 o'clock, it is the Gas House Gang. Tom Ackerman is with me, and we will have John Rooney as our guest today from 12 until 1 o'clock.
Okay. Be sure and ask about that torpedo bat.
The torpedo bat.
Wilson Contreras.
He switched to a torpedo bat over the weekend, and now he's raking.
So you got to listen. You have to listen to the Gas House Gang.
Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock on 104.1 FM KMOX. A couple of people watching on YouTube and on Facebook have sent in messages about Cardinals attendance and, you know, how they feel about mm-hmm. the team. Listen, we're going to get into it a little bit more during the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock. So, you know, want to address all that stuff, and people have thoughts, and obviously, Wilson Contreras had thoughts on it, so we will get to it. We'll do it at 12.
Yeah.
So don't forget that if you are on KMOX Sports on YouTube and on Facebook, also on the Twitter account, you can watch the show there,
mm-hmm.
Just like you can watch this show on KMOX News and at Chris Amy KMOX.
Yep, and as you said, he'll get to your text and voicemails about the Cardinals on the Gas House Gang. Meanwhile, we have another voicemail, Ronch.
Oh my gosh, Amy, a similar thing happened to me while I was out morel hunting. This is Melanie Mitchell from Granite City. I had to answer the call of nature and ducked into the woods, and right in the middle of the process, I looked over to my right, and about 2 feet from me was a big snake just sitting there looking at me, and it didn't move, I didn't move, and it took everything within me just to keep it together to not run away screaming.
Man. That's a thing.
Could have gotten eaten.
It could have gotten eaten or bitten.
I think of all the animal deaths.
And thank you for the call. GC.
Yes. Yeah.
GC represent.
Melanie, right?
Yep.
You can leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. Is being eaten by a snake the worst way to be killed by an animal?
Because you're just digested?
Well, yeah, but they squeeze you to death first.
Well, it would be like dying in Return of the Jedi. Remember when Boba Fett goes down that?
Oh, and he gets slowly digested for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
The Sarlacc.
Yes, it would be like getting eaten by a Sarlacc.
Yeah, that would be awful.
How are you single?
A lot going on politically. The tariffs are wreaking havoc still. And are we headed toward a recession? Some people think so. The White House is trying to calm those fears. We're going to talk to Chris Saliza, political commentator. He joins us next on KMOX.